morning.
Good morning.
Learned a long time ago that it doesn't matter how much you study, how much you think you know. If the Lord doesn't meet you here, you're in trouble.
That's right.
I learned it early because we had an old elder, some of you know him, Elder Higgs. And I got up and I tried to preach the four horses.
Yeah.
I preached it before and felt pretty good. Got up there and started trying to preach. I finished preaching. Elder Higgs got up, he said, Elder Thrower got up there and started preaching on them horses, and them horses got to bucking and a kicking. I never tried to preach it no more after that. We need the Lord.
Amen.
And I heard Brother Larry say about our hope. And there's a difference in the hope that we have and the hope in the world.
Right.
When the world hopes, they're hoping for something that may happen or may not happen. That's not our hope.
Right.
Our hope is something that will happen. We just don't know when. We wait on it. Many years ago, there was a little girl, and her and her dad were real close out in New York. And dad had a heart attack. Girl loved to go fishing. When the dad got out of the hospital, they'd already told him he needed to rest, but he was going to take his daughter fishing. They got out, and the boat drifted out of the harbor out into the ocean. When he tried to start the boat and come back, it wouldn't start. He had a decision to make, because if they stayed out there, the evening was coming, and they needed to go get to shore and let somebody know that the boat would stop. So he told his daughter, "Baby, I think I can swim to the shore, but I can't carry you." He got to the shore. Coast Guard got there and they started looking for the little girl. Daddy is praying and crying. Got dark and they couldn't see anything. As the Coast Guard kept going further and further out, they could see a flicker on the waves. And as they got closer, they saw there was the little boat. It was a little girl, and she was laying down, and she was humming. And as it got closer and got her out of the boat, she's wet, it's cold. Captain said, "Were you afraid?" And she said, "Yes, I was afraid." Got dark. Dad hadn't come back. Water started coming into the boat, and I got afraid. He said, "Well, if you were afraid, why were you humming?" And she said, "You see, my father has never lied to me. I didn't know when he would come, but I knew he was coming. Our father has never lied to us."
Amen.
We don't know when he's coming, but we know he's coming.
Amen, sir.
And that's enough for me. He is not going to leave us here. And I want to look, if the Lord will, at the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. And I just want to leave a few words with you to the praise of his glory. It's not about you. It's about God. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters don't have nothing to do with you. The last four chapters have to do with you. And he begins that fourth chapter with "walk worthy." Not that you might be, not that you would be if you make up your mind, but he done gave three chapters that already tell you who you are. And I'm going to tell you something. If you know in your heart that I'm a child of God, you have something. We live in a world where our children are lost. People don't have any identity. The suicide rate getting higher and higher. But if you God's child, you are somebody. You are somebody. And we need to know who we are. So the Lord tells us in the first, well, let me tell you, Jesus, a lot of folks, they think that all you have to do is make up your mind and accept the Lord and heaven is your home. Biggest lie in the world. I have a son that's 50 years old now. When Daryl learned how to say father, did that make me Daryl's father? I was his father before he ever came out of his mother's womb. All that meant was that an awareness he had. And that's why I tell people, it don't even make nonsense to think I can make up my mind and all of a sudden God is my father. It don't work like that.
That's right.
It don't work. And if you think about it, the old elder used to say, if you follow a thought to a logical conclusion, it'll kill itself. You don't have to argue about it. How did Daryl ever make up his mind? That's my dad. I got another one for you. Which one of you ever looked at mom and dad and said, I want them to be my mother and father? That don't even make nonsense. Well, if none of that makes nonsense, how can you look at God and think you can choose for him to be your father? It just don't work like that. But Jesus, I always tell people, Brother Larry talked about books. Man writes a whole lot of books. Man will fill up a library with books. And then he'll write amendments, revisions. God wrote one book. No revisions, no amendments, one book. And I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing that a child of God runs into today that's not in the book. Not only is it in the book, but the answer to how you deal with it is also in the book. Not only that, there's going to be an example somewhere about the problem that you have and how the Lord wants you to handle it.
Amen.
There. So I tell people all the time, there's one testimony that every heir of grace has. I'm 76 years old. And that testimony is, if I knew then what I know right now, life would have been so much better. I'd have been a better child, I'd have been a better mother, better father, better sister, better brother, because I would know the value of living according to the word of God. We are storing treasures somewhere. You either store them in hell, or you store them in heaven. I tell people, you ever went to the bank and didn't have an account there? And you want to withdraw some money that you never put in? A lot of time we like to do that with the Lord, don't we? We want to make withdrawals, but we don't make no deposits. And the good thing about God is he don't remember your yesterday. Everything starts right now. When I say, Lord, have mercy, guess what he's going to do? He's going to have mercy. So when we look at Jesus, he told a parable, and he said there was a certain, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed seed. And he sowed the seed in the field, and while men slept, an enemy came in.
Yeah.
And he sowed tares in the field. And when the plant sprung up, the tares sprung up too. And the tares looked just like the wheat. So then his servant said, Master, you want us to go out there and pluck up them tares? And he said, no, don't pluck them up. Because if you tried to identify them and pluck up the tear, you pluck up some wheat too. So I tell people a lot of times, I wish the Lord would paint a yellow stripe down the backs of the elect. So then I would know who I needed to be careful about and how I treated them. But since he didn't, I got to treat every man as a brother.
Amen.
And every woman as a sister. And then to take it on further, so the Lord was telling us there are only two seeds in the world. There's not a whole bunch of them. They're his and they're Satan's. There's only two fathers in the world. Him and Satan. And God's folks don't have no desire to be Satan's. And guess what? Satan's folks don't have no desire to be gods. The only way you have that desire is God had to put it in you. People said, no, I made up my mind. Well, you better keep reading. Because my Bible says in Galatians 5:2 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, gentleness, meekness. What?
Faith.
What is faith? The ability to believe. Where did it come from? Him, not you. So he goes on, and another time he's talking to the scribes and Pharisees. Just bear with me, and I'm going to get to Ephesians in a minute. He's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he said, why don't you hear my voice? Why don't you understand my speech? And he said, you don't hear me because you are not mine. That means they ain't never going to hear. If they not his, there ain't nothing they can do. Then he said, you are of your father, the devil. Later on in that same chapter, he said, he that is of God hears God's word. The only people that hear the word of God are those who are already here. If you feel sorrow about anything, if you feel remorse, and I don't mean sorrow because you got caught. That's a whole different word. That's the sorrow Judas felt and went out and hung himself. But the scripture says, godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. If you feel sorry for anything, if you wish I could go back and do it again, I wouldn't do it that same way. That's evidence. You're a child of God.
Amen.
You're a child of God.
Amen.
Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. Now, in the first chapter of Ephesians, God, the works are described. God as the Father, God as the Son, and God as the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
God as the Father working in eternity before time. God as the Son working in time. And the scripture said he came to save his people from their sins. He could not say it is finished until that was done. And then God as the Spirit working in the last days of time. Somebody yesterday said, well, aren't we in the last days now? Yep. How long have we been in them? Ever since Christ got up out the grave. Ever since that man, he said, except I go not away, the Comforter cannot come.
Yeah.
Well, the Comforter is here right now.
Right.
It is the Spirit of God that leads and intercedes. It is the Spirit of God that comforts and heals. It is the Spirit of God that preserves and seals. It is the Spirit of God that quickens, makes alive, and reveals.
Amen.
But there ain't but one throne in glory.
Amen.
Three works but one throne. So the first thing that he says as he begins to write, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ. The first thing he says, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. If it was your will to preach, you're not going to preach no gospel. It's by God's will. We had I told a story last night. My nephew and his girlfriend at that time, now his wife, she would come hear me explain things and she'd go back to her pastor. Then she'd come back the next week. And when I challenged her by what she said, she couldn't answer the question. So I finally said, then I need to just meet your pastor. But we met. First thing that bothered me is he's about an hour late for the meeting. And then he began to talk about all his accomplishments. And I finally told him, you know, if we got here together to talk about what your accomplishments are, I might as well leave and go on back home. He said, well, where do you get your degree from, Delathroy? What seminary did you go to? And I said, I don't have no degree. Because God don't give them out. Whom he calls, he qualifies. And you can have all the degrees you want, and it doesn't mean anything. So then he asked me about, he'd heard about primitive Baptists. That's them folks that believe they're just going to heaven and do anything. I said, if you think you can do anything and go to heaven, then you are obviously not going. You're not going. If you think I can just live any kind of way and go to heaven and everything will be, it don't work like that.
Amen.
It does not work like that. We begin to talk about the book of Ephesians, and in the first chapter when Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. What made them faithful? God made them faithful. So to the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus, he begins to tell them that, second verse, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. We have peace down here sometimes, don't we? But you know what? Everything that happens down here has a beginning and it's got an end. That's just the way natural life works. There are going to be times when you're sorry, and there are going to be times you're up on the mountaintop. There are going to be times when you're rejoicing, and there are going to be times when you're in the valley. But there is a peace that's not from down here.
Amen.
There is a joy that I can feel, that joy down in my soul, even in times of sorrow.
Yes.
That it don't matter what's going on in the world, that I can feel the joy of the Lord in my heart. And I know that the best for a child of God is always yet to come. Well, then how do we get so entangled and wrapped up? Because we keep looking at what's down here instead of looking up at what's up there. What's up there is eternity. I'll be there forever. Stop looking at what's in front of you, what's to the left and what's to the right. There ain't no answers in it. You keep looking up. And so he says, in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And he's going to tell us about 9 spiritual blessings. And after he finishes the work of the Father and telling us that in glory, he says, to the praise of his glory. And then around verse 7 and 8, after he finishes talking about the Son and redemption of sin, forgiveness of sin and redemption, he says the same thing, to the praise of his glory. Then he talks about the Spirit, and then he concludes that with to the praise of his glory. So man is not in there nowhere. You are a recipient of what God has done in glory. And he didn't do it for you. He did it to the praise of his glory. To the praise of, he made us somebody when we were nothing. He made us somebody. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Holy, that's the first spiritual blessing. He chose us. We didn't choose him. What official, if you're going to have an election, he choose himself and that made him the one that's in charge? It don't work like that. He chose us. And you know the good thing about it? I don't know about you, but I messed up a whole lot in my life. Dad used to say, when I was born, he heard a voice that said, another preacher is born in the world. And I spent many years showing him that he had a nightmare. I ran away from preaching. Now, some people say they can remember the day and they can remember. I don't remember nothing. But I remember that there was a time in my life when the church didn't mean nothing to me. Whether John Henry or my mother, every Sunday in their house, you was going to church. You didn't have no voice. You wonder what's wrong with some of the things that go on now? We give too many opinions and voices to our children. As long as you live under the roof of John Henry, when Sunday morning came, you were going to church. Then finally, I would look at them old prims. Lord, have mercy. Don't have no pianos. Don't have no choirs. And them old backward songs that they sing, sometimes they get off key.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes they sing back in me. And you want me to be a part of that? I'm not going to do it. And I don't remember what day it was or what week it was. But I do remember that there was one day when I walked into that church and them old backward songs began to stir up in my heart.
Amen.
And them old people that I didn't think anything about
They began to move me, and I just wanted to hug them, and I just wanted to kiss them.
Yeah.
That is not the work of John Wallace.
Right.
That is the work of God. And he started that work long before I was ever born in the world.
Yeah.
Before mama and daddy ever existed, God had wrote my name down in the book of life and sealed it in the palm of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And my Bible says that he which hath begun a good work in you, he gonna finish that work.
Amen.
God don't do anything by accident.
Uh-huh.
So when I look at my life, how high I can say, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
You done brought me a long way. You've been better to me than I ever been to myself. He done showed me that no matter what troubles I have, even if I'm the one that called the trouble, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, would you humble themselves and pray? You want to know the solution to what's going on in the world. It ain't no different than it was with Solomon. So Solomon wrote in the book, Lord, we mess up and we are stiff-necked people. We say we're going to do one thing and then we do something else. But Lord, if we make it out to this little church, this temple, will you hear our cry? Now in the next chapter, God answers Solomon's prayer. And it worked then and it'll still work today. He says, Solomon, if you just do these four things, I'll humble themselves. I'll pray. I'll seek my face. I'll turn from their wicked ways. I'll heal from heaven. I will forgive their sins. And what will you do, Lord? I will heal their land. Whose land? Their land. How did it get to be their land? Because my Father created it. It all belongs to him.
Mm-hmm.
People love to boast about what they got sometimes. I mean, you don't have nothing. Everything that you have belongs to the Lord. And the very next breath you take, you breathe in God's air.
Amen.
You breathe in God's air. Nothing but a one. And then when James said, we just one breath away from death, you know what that means? That's how close you are to dying. That's how close you are. He goes on and said, having, who according have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, before I get to the next verse, I want you to understand something. There are about three forms of love written in the scripture. The King James scholars wrote all of them in one word, love. All you need to know about it, there's a mother's love, a brotherly love, there's a love among friends. But every one of these forms of love is influenced by something on the outside. You hear me? What do you mean is a half of the folks that say, till death do us part? Half of them leave before death parted. But yet they confess that we love each other. So if I gotta depend on man's love, you talking about that lady that you married and the love you had for her, I did the same thing about 53 years ago. And people used to teach me, Elder Bill Miller, you know him. He used to say, Elder Wallace, you done learned how to run anything yet? I said, no. He said, well, I run everything in my house. I said, what? I run the washing machine, dryer, all that. He said, you ain't learned how to do none of that yet? I said, man, no, I ain't learned. But before he left here, my wife had got sick. She'd been sick about 7-8 years. I said, hell, what? I'm learning how to run things in my house. Thank God for her. So, if the Lord loves you, what's the difference? That love is on the inside.
Amen.
Why did Jesus say, love your enemies? He's not talking about no natural love. He's talking about a compassion within you if you're a child of God and he wants you to let it out. Not only did he do that, but he gives us gifts. I'll get to that in a little bit later. Whatever God blesses you to have, you need to remember something. He wants it back. Mm-hmm. Whatever God blesses you to have, He wants it back.
Amen.
How do I give it back to Him?
Through my brothers and my sisters.
Yes, amen.
You hear me? I give it back to Him through my brothers and sisters, and then I'm storing up treasures in heaven. And then when time get hard, I can fall down on my knees. And I can say, Lord, have mercy. You know what He said? He said that when times get hard, just call on me in a day of trouble. And with a strong arm and a stretched out hand, I will deliver. Do you believe that?
Amen.
All right. Yeah. He goes on and he says, having predestinated us to the adoption of children, that's the second spiritual blessing. Predestination. That's a word most people mess up. The word predestination is parizo. Our English word horizon comes from that Greek word parizo. Well, what that got to do with anything? When I look out at a horizon,
before the horizon,
when I look out there and see it, I don't know where the land ends and the sky begins. When I look at predestination, I don't know where it ends and where it begins, but I know this. Predestination is my guarantee that what God has done for me, it will stand.
Amen.
How do you know it, Troy? John Henry used to tell us, when I die, if I got a quarter, I'm going to swallow it. I'm not leaving you anything. He said, I'll pay for you to go to college. You mess that up. Don't be looking for nothing from me. I'm glad God don't think like my dad. He predestinated us to an inheritance.
Amen.
That's incorruptible and undefiled. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Then the scripture says He predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. What good is that adoption? I'm going to tell you what it is. Some people think, we just had this conversation yesterday, that when is the end going to come? I'm going to tell you when it's going to come. When the last heir of grace has been added to the body of Christ, then shall the end come. You don't know the day. How Jesus going to say, I'm going to come as a thief in the night? What thief ever told you when He comes? You don't know when you're coming, but I know He will come when that last heir of grace is born. And that adoption you were talking about, this flesh, people saying it don't mean nothing. I'm going to tell you something. God, it does mean something.
Yes.
No matter where I die, I know one day I can be burned up in a fire. I can be beaten up by animals. I can be killed, but God knows where every molecule of this body is.
Right.
How you know it, Troy? You got to gather all of it together, and that's the adoption. It's the redemption of what?
Our body.
The redemption of this body.
Amen.
That's the adoption.
Amen, brother.
He didn't do all that to the praise of His glory. He goes on and says in the next verse, to the praise of His glory. That's the work of God as the Father. Election and predestination and the adoption. Now He looks at it and He said, to the praise of the glory of His grace, when He has made us accepted in the beloved. And I may not know anybody, but I know John W. Throw. I know everything that I have done. I know all the times I fooled mama and daddy. I know the times that I didn't. I always tell folks that one of the difference we say, the world ain't no different. It is different. The solution is the same. But the problems are different. Our young folks and children today face things that I never had to face at such early ages. But the solution is the same. The solution, don't matter what you face, God is the solution. So when I look at stuff, and John Henry and Grace thought I was one way, there's three things we don't have no more. When I was growing up, you might mess up, but you felt shame about it. You didn't want everybody to know what you did. That feeling is gone, ain't it? Now you don't care who messes up. When we were growing up,
There were boundaries you didn't cross.
That's right.
You watch how you talk to old folks.
Right.
Because if somebody saw you and go to your mom, if a neighbor didn't whoop you, you're going to get one when you get home.
That's right.
Them boundaries don't exist no more. We will condemn old folks, talk any kind of way to old folks. And the other thing, nothing is sacred anymore.
That's right.
You hear me? Yep. Nothing is sacred. Right. We found that young folks will spray paint churches.
Yeah.
As well. And they spray paint any other building. Yep. Not, when we were growing up, not only did you not touch the church, you didn't curse around the church. Mm-hmm. It didn't have to be. You just walked down the street by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. If you would have grace,
right.
God ain't worried about what the devils do. God is worried about how you and I act with the devils. I tell folks that Moses, he's ran Israel. And the same thing that Jethro told Moses, it'll work today. He told Moses, you're going to wear yourself out and wear the people out trying to judge and lead them. You need to do this. You need to go pick out men of truth. Men that fear God. Men that don't have covetousness. You know what? That same thing will work today. Amen. If we pick out those kind of men to lead us.
That's right.
If we don't, then we're going to get in all kinds of people. Like I said, God calls this and God calls that. And I say, you know, you look awfully big to tell me what God did.
Mm-hmm.
What I tell you is, I don't know what caused this or what caused that, but I know one thing. The further you move away from God, the further your family moves. Yeah. Away from God.
Amen.
The further your job moves away from God, then, in fact, one other, you will never be all that you can be without the Lord. You may be satisfied where you are, but you will never reach the heights of the gifts and talent God gave you without Him in your life.
Amen.
And the further you move away from God, then nature, people, places and things, you will see all kinds of things that begin to happen in the world. Don't mean that God caused it, but you and your sloppy ways before the Lord is what caused it.
Amen.
I want to keep myself. Well, I can fall down on my knees and pray. I hear people say, I'm going to make up my mind and I can quit drinking anytime. I'm going to tell you something. A made up mind don't fix nothing unless that mind is focused on the Lord.
That's right.
Scripture tells us, confess your faults. One to the other, and pray one for the other that you may be healed. That means if I got a fault that I want to fix, I first got to confess it to the Lord, but then I got to confess it to my loved ones, my sisters and my brothers, not just anybody, but those that love me. And God will give me the strength to fix my problem. He says, to the praise of His glory, for He had made us except in the beloved. We who are worthless. We who don't know anything at all. No value in us. And yet He loved us. Wrote our name in the Lamb Book of Life. Then the scripture says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption. Now He's beginning the work of the second person in the Godhead. He says we have redemption through His blood. And let me tell you about that. Redemption means that I'm buying something out of the marketplace. But have you ever gone to a marketplace to buy something? Later you want to sell it to somebody else. I don't want that kind of redemption. Not at all. I'm glad that the writer's word that they use for redemption means to buy out of the marketplace, never to be sold again. Don't you never feel that the blood of our Lord and Savior is temporary. It's a permanent blood, and it saved you from the hell that is down here. It's not going to have no temporary value. He said we have redemption through His blood.
Even.
Maybe I ought to skip that one. Even the forgiveness of sins.
Yes, sir.
All right, now, none of y'all got nobody you harboring bad feelings about, do you? Scripture tells us that as Christ forgave you,
amen.
No matter what you did, no matter why you did it, He said you can't do nothing that He had already paid the price for with His blood. But then it tells us we need to be the same way.
Amen.
Ooh-wee. Not only that, our Lord told us about the unforgiving steward. Yeah. That's why I said, there ain't nothing God tells you to do that the example is not in the scripture. There ain't nothing that you run into in this life that's not in the scripture. Right. Right. And the fastest thing you can learn in this life is when I get in trouble, I'm going to dig in the scripture because God got an answer for me. Nothing.
Amen.
He says, forgive. Jesus told the story about the unforgiving steward. The man that owed him money. He owed his master money and he went and pleaded with him. And the master forgave him. But then the same steward went out and found somebody that owed him.
Yep.
And he talked about it and the man couldn't pay. He had him locked up and all his family locked up. But what he didn't know, somebody went and told him.
Mm-hmm.
One of the servants went to the master and told him what he did. And he came to that servant and said, when you owed me, I forgave your debt and had compassion on you. Why couldn't you have done the same thing? Mm-hmm. Then Jesus said, this is the part we don't like to talk about too much.
Right, right.
But he said, take that servant, cast him in the outer darkness, for there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But then he made a big statement. He said, and so likewise will my heavenly Father do also unto you. If you from the heart forgive not every man his neighbor and brother that trespasses against them. I've had a lot of people that I have wronged. I've had a lot of people that have wronged me. In fact, I say, if I'm going to get to heaven, people say, oh, we're going to know each other over there. And I say, you will know each other, but not like you know each right. other right now. Yeah. How you know we'll know each other? Because Peter, James, and John, they followed our Lord on the mountaintop. And they saw Moses there and Elijah. Moses and Elijah had been dead for 1,000 years. They had never seen them. How the devil did they know who they were? The other reason it can't be like we know each other here, because when I get to glory, I'm going to look at some folks, and I'm going to wonder, how you get here? And guess what? Somebody going to look at me and say, how did he get here? So we will know each other as we are known.
Yes, sir.
We're not going to know each other the way we do now. But if heaven is your home, you need to learn how to forgive Pathro. Because down here there are offenses. We are going to be offended. But when we get offended, fall on your knees and turn it over to God. Amen. Don't harbor offensive things in your head. Let me tell you something before I skip on. This mind. Do you know the greatest enemy of the general honest head? Me. We like to put it on somebody else, but it's me.
Yes.
You say, he made me mad. No, you made you mad.
That's right.
Don't let he made you mad. So Paul tells us in the Philippians, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are virtue, whatsoever things are of a good report, whatsoever things are praise, if there be any consolation,
think.
On these things. Why you let your mind get filled up with garbage?
Yeah.
Why you want to let your mind get filled up with something you can't fix? Jesus even said, what you worried about that for? Your worry ain't going to change one hair on your head.
Right.
So what I have to do is realize that the mind is the battleground. The mind is what Satan wants.
Yeah.
The mind is what we fight in. I have to learn how to control my mind. If I got bad thoughts about somebody, I got to get rid of them. I got to say, get behind me, Satan. If I want to get offense or get back at somebody because they made me mad or they did, ooh-wee. I always tell people now, I got three wives. I got my wife for 53 years. And I got my daughter who thinks she my wife. And now I got my granddaughter who thinks she my wife. And all of them just boss me around. I just wish I could find a little corner and just hide in the corner. Last year I had to get a monitor put in. And when they found out they needed to do it, they couldn't find nothing wrong, the doctor to my daughter, and they said, he's about the healthiest person in this hospital, but it's better for him to have it and don't need it than to need it and don't have it. And Megan said, please don't go tell my daddy. He don't need to know that. She didn't know I could hear him. One day she was, I'm trying to lift him. Dad, you ain't got no man to try to pick up nothing like that. Me, I said, Megan, them doctors told me I'm the healthiest person in this hospital. You know what she said? Yeah. In the hospital. That's how healthy you are.
Thank God for him. He says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he had purposed. Where are we in this? We're not in this whole chapter. We're not in chapter 1. We're not in chapter 2, because chapter 2 tells us, you have he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sin. Chapter 2 lets us know that as children of God, we used to act like the devils at.
That's right.
We were by nature the children of wrath.
Right.
And then we had two words in there. You know, I always tell people, when you're talking to somebody, don't say but. Don't tell nobody something nice and then say but. Quattro, because but wipes out everything you say. But wipes out everything that was said before. We were by nature the children of wrath, but, all right,
yeah.
I done just wiped out everything, but God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and in sin. I tell you something, God knew us. Scripture says his foreknowledge. Some people think that foreknowledge is the same as omniscience. No, it's not.
No.
Omniscience means that God knows everything. He ain't never learned anything at all. But foreknowledge means that he had an intimate relationship with us.
Yes.
Before we were ever born, he revealed himself to us. He showed us how much we mean to him. Wrote our names in heaven. And now he says, I want you to reveal yourself to me. That's foreknowledge. That's what we ought to be thankful for. He goes on and says, to the praise of his glory. He purposed it after himself. In verse 11, he says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. Lord have mercy. John Henry didn't want to leave me no inheritance, but I got one anyway.
Yeah.
You know what else? What God gave me, you can't take.
Right.
You can't take mine, and I can't take yours. I've got an inheritance in glory. One day, I'm going home to glory. Down here, I got a ticker for my heart. Down here, if I get weak, it'll send bolts that sometime could knock me down. But over there, I don't need no pacemakers anymore. Down here, when I was young, I used to put on a suit. I say I make that suit look good. But now that I done got old, I can put on all the suits I want. But all these wrinkles, all these aches and pains, I can't make nothing no good anymore. But one day, I'm going home. I tell people out here, some people are afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die. Where I'm going, it's better than where I am. I might be afraid. I ought to have aches and pains. But I ain't afraid. I ought to go on home. And be with the Lord. Heaven is my home. I'm going to see my mother there. I'm going to see my father there. I'm going to see Ella Willie McGaskey. I'm telling someone. He would always say he went fishing. The big fish he would set kid. We would say one day we coming down there. When it ain't no church meeting. To go fishing. That day never came. Well, Willie went on home to glory.
But I know that one day I'm gonna see Yellow Willie again. I'm gonna see him through the eyes of the Lord. I'm in here. You don't got your whole head. I was covering your head. Your body can't move like it used to. When you had a loved one that you had to let go. But one day they're coming back again. When we get there, we always talk about family reunions.
Yes, sir.
And we don't have enough of them no more. But when we get to glory, there's going to be one big family reunion. He says, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. In verse 12, that statement again, after the work of the Son, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. How did you trust him? What made you trust him? What made you believe? My Bible said that the fruit of the Spirit, belief, is one of the aspects. Those nine fruit don't have nothing to do with you. They are of the Lord. That love is divine love. That long-suffering is divine. That temperance is divine. That faith is divine. God has given us something that we must use in our life as we interact one with another, when we greet one another, me with member, that whatsoever you do in word, you do in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. Why throw up? I see the done so much for you. To the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now listen at this. Verse 13, he said, to whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. After that you believe. How did you believe? Because
right.
God gave you that ability. Amen. You don't just make up your mind. I tell people, I said it earlier, I'll say it again. We are living in the last days. We are living in the age of the Spirit of God. And every now and then, God will pass by. Every now and then, our Lord will pass by. But I want to tell you something. Every now and then, the Spirit of God, he'll pass by too. When I'm going through hard times, when God communicates with us, he communicates by inspiration. He will inspire you to do things you had never thought about. He communicates by revelation. He will reveal to you things that you don't understand. In the last way, inspiration, revelation. How else throw it? Illumination. What do you mean illumination? He will turn the light on things that you just don't understand. He still communicates that same way today. Well, who is it communicating? God as the Spirit. He quickens and reveals. He preserves and seals. He leads and heals in the city. You try to walk in the light of the Lord. If you try to raise your family, book, chapter, and verse, what thus saith the Lord. If you try to work on your job and do the best that you can, the Spirit of God, he will stand in the way. He'll let you know that this is the way. Walk ye in it. I tell people, what mother and father would ever see danger in the life of their kid and don't warn them? Well, you got a father that when he sees danger, he'll let you know. There is no such thing as God allowing us to get in trouble. We get in trouble because we don't listen to the word of God. But even the trouble, God uses that trouble. How do you know it, Lord? Because if you want patience, tribulation.
That's right, that's right.
Works patience.
Yeah.
Patience works experience. Now, I'm one of them folks. I had to go through a whole lot of tribulation to get some patience.
Yeah.
And since I was such a naughty boy, when we were growing up, Mama would send us to an aunt or an uncle and live with them for a while. So I done had nieces and nephews get sent to my house when they acted up at home. When I start to preach, oh my God, there's an aisle that way in glory's kingdom. And when you thought God called you to preach, you had to get up and walk down that aisle to Elder John Henry. Mm-hmm. And when I first felt the call to preach, I had joined the church. But that one year, 23 of my cousins joined. And Dad said, boy, you gonna ever join the church?
Nope.
I'm gonna just, well, no, but what am I joining the church with? Dad walked away. That hurt my father.
Yeah.
Right then.
Right.
But it still hurts me.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
To think of what I told John Henry Thoreau, the man that brought me in the Word, that stood by me through thick and thin, ups and downs. So I'm walking down the aisle, and I got an aunt who's sitting right about where this gentleman sat. Y'all know Aunt Ida May. She looked up and saw me walking. Lord have mercy. What done happened to us? I couldn't get upset with Aunt Ida. She knew we were just real close. Me and my brother Ray. Our two families were real. She knew stuff about me, Mom and Daddy didn't know. And now all of a sudden you're going to preach? Have a guy I used to work with named Bill, he ultimately joined the church. He's going home to glory now. And when he joined the church, he went and told some of the managers I worked with. He said, John Thoreau is preaching. They said, what? John preach, you need to come here, John preach. One of my friends named Claude, he said, if John preaching, Jesus is going to fall out the sky. I couldn't get upset with him. But you know what I do? I spend every day trying to be better than the man who was back there. And it's the spirit that enables me to do that. When I don't understand the spirit, I was telling them last night, there are things that I've studied 40 years ago. And then open up the Bible today and the spirit revealed it don't even mean what you was preaching. Huh? All the preachers have been through it. God is not going to turn you loose. And we worry about what's going to happen over here, what's going to happen. You worry about doing God's will. You are the salt. You are the city. You are the light. God is not looking at the chaos in the world. God is looking at me and you. And what difference are you making in your family, in your neighborhood? He wants everything. He gives you gifts and talent. Let me get off track a minute. When God gives you something, nobody can take it away. You can go to school all you want, but God might have gave you something that you're working at that ain't what he wants you to do. Go read Romans 12. Whatever God gives you, he wants it back. He wants it. How am I going to get it back? He gives you the ability to give. He wants your help and your brothers and sisters. He gives you the ability to have mercy. You see people do stuff, and people be talking about it, you just feel like, just leave them alone. But why are you doing that? And I have some people that come and they say, you old so-and-so did this and so did that. I always tell people now, you know how you get them to stop? When you come to me and tell me about somebody else, I say, yeah, let's pray. And since you know so much about it, you lead the prayer. It's not bringing mess to you. All of us got mess. But God has given us everything we need to work our way through it. And then when you do that, as you're doing it, he wants you to pick out your brothers and sisters that you can help. The world needs a lot of help right now. Amen. Neighborhoods need a lot of help right now. Amen. Families need a lot of help right now. The answer is not in the world. The answer is in the gifts of God.
Amen.
What he has given to his people.
Yes.
And he did all of it to the praise of his glory.
Yeah.
Not your glory of his.
Yeah.
Next chapter he talks about you. Have you quit? I'm going to close right now. Pray that I say something that will make you a little stronger while you're down here. Something that will make you make up your mind that tomorrow, if I had sung a song, I love that old song we sang, when the storms of life are raging, standing by me. When the hosts of hell are that trying to overtake me, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, trials and trouble, stand by me. I wish we could remember that. God is not going to leave you. He put too much into you. He ain't worried about it. One day he's going to bring us home to glory. Some of us are blessed to get old and gray hair covering our head. We look back at the life that God blessed us to have. I had an old sister in the church, and one day they called my dad. They thought she died. When we got to the hospital, she got up and she looked around and saw her daughters crying, and she said, "What's wrong with y'all?" And then she realized, "I know you thought I was dead, but I want to tell you something. When the Lord get ready to call me home, when the Lord I'll get ready to end this journey, I'm ready to go. Elder Ardell and I, we used to go over there. We're young preachers." And she said, "I don't know if you're called to preach. You say you are. But what I do know, my God said, feed my sheep and feed my lamb. So don't you ever come visit me and leave me hungry. Feed me." One day, the old sister said, "Little throw, I know you think I'm old and you think I'm forget. You think what the world is today, I don't know nothing about." And she said, "But one thing I don't want you ever to forget, all of you that think mom and daddy, they just don't know. All of you that think my teacher, I just don't know." That old sister said, "That bridge that you're about to cross, I'm already on the other side. I know every bump in the world, and never forget what I'm telling you right now. And I want to tell you something. Make up your mind. I'm going to commit myself to the Lord. I'm not going to be the same person I was yesterday. I'm not going to treat our people the same. Everything I do is going to be to the praise and the glory of God." I'm going to tell you something. I dare you to do it. I dare you to do it. I get all kind of people calling me, and now that this internet stuff that happened, they called me from all over the world. I got to where I asked them, "What's your relationship with the Lord?" It is no need of wasting each other's time trying to look at a problem if you haven't already committed yourself to God's solution and not yours. We love him because he loves us, and then tells us that if we love him, we need to love our brothers and our sisters. God bless all of you, all to the praise of his glory. Thank you.
You know, there's a little scripture in the 11th chapter of Romans. It says, "For of him and through him and to him be all things."
Amen.
And that's what we've really heard. Everything is of him that's important. He's the source of all of our hopes.
He's the source.
He's the source. He's the power. It's of him and it's through him.
Through him.
Everything that we attempt to do that's worthy of doing is through him.
Mm-hmm.
As the vine abides, or as the branch abides in the vine, we draw strength from just the knowledge of Christ and from the name of Christ.
Amen.
And then to the praise of his glory. It all goes back to him.
It's
about praising him. I trust that we are thankful this morning that we have heard messages that bring praise to the Lord.
Amen.